Now, EGTA is the international trade body for multi-platform TV and audio businesses. And a couple of weeks ago, I was lucky enough to attend their 50th anniversary conference in London, at which EGTA announced its new industry charter, which is effectively a mission statement for commercial broadcasters in an age of multi-platform TV and audio. So we thought it'd be a good idea to invite EGTA's Director General, Cathy Robefroy, onto the podcast and delve a bit deeper into the charter and its objectives. So welcome to the podcast, Cathy.
Well, thank you, Richard. Thanks for having me and thanks for joining us in London.
Now, the charter outlines five priorities, which are creating quality experiences, improving measurement, optimizing the buying process, proving impact and effectiveness, and finally, an emphasis on ESG. We're going to discuss each of those in turn, but firstly, how did you determine these new priorities? What consultation process was used to come up with this mission statement for the next few years?
Yeah, it didn't take us too long. I mean, ECTA at the moment is a network that comprises about 180 something members, both multi-platform TV and audio, as you just said, in 44 markets, and they have obviously very they represent a very large diversity of realities. But there's also lots of issues that are common to all of our members, and those commonalities we identify usually through the activities that we run. We run a research center. We have a lot of conferences, etc. So the major points or the priority points to all of our members come out very clearly. We also run a survey on the occasion of our 50th anniversary to identify priorities and opportunities and challenges for our members. So that was also a source of inspiration. Obviously, we spoke a lot as a team and we consulted with the board. We have a board of 25 members, which is quite large, but we wanted that board to be diverse enough to represent the diversity of our members. So we also asked them the question, you know, what are your five key areas where you think we can achieve more if we join forces? And sort of five priorities came out very, very easily.
Okay, so let's talk about the first one, which is really based around quality experiences. We'll make a, by the way, a link available with the podcast so you can read the document in more detail. But
Yes.
how do you define what quality is? And is this aligning with Barb's fit for TV concept?
If I may say, when we speak about quality, obviously TV and radio, but TV is known for the quality of its content. But when we say quality experiences, we don't just refer to the quality of the content that we put on air. It's just the quality of the experience, as it says in the title, and it's the quality for both the viewer and for the advertisers who trade with our TV members. So by quality, obviously, from the viewer's standpoint, we mean quality content, obviously, in a brand safe environment. We mean also an enjoyable experience where the frequency of advertising is under control, where, if possible, elements of contextualization are integrated, and basically where the content meets the viewer's expectation. That does mean an evolution in terms of adapting to diverse audiences. It does mean taking into consideration the fact that the content that is being watched these days is not just on the TV set in the living room, but across all the platforms where TV content can now be watched. And it is important that the experience across those platforms is enjoyable, is smooth, and is taken into consideration and improved by all possible means. So from a viewer point of view, yeah, definitely. And in terms of quality content, yes, we do abide by the definition of fit for TV recently put forward by Barb. We think it's a very good one, and that's basically what we have in mind too. But there's also the quality of the experience from the advertiser's standpoint, who want to put their advertising into our content and into our properties. And we think that the experience should also be a qualitative experience, i.e. appearing in brand safe, curated content where there is ad clearance before any ad is put forward, et cetera, making it easier for them to buy. But that's the object of another chapter. So it really is qualitative experience in a very broad sense.
So it's really about three things, isn't it? It's about the content, it's about the advertising, but it's also about the way they fit together to create the whole user experience.
Exactly. And one of the things that is not to be forgotten with TV and audio is also the importance we grant to the local realities. As I said, we are in 44 markets. What is happening in the US, which is a super large market, and what is happening in a much smaller market like Romania, like Slovenia, like Belgium, etc., is quite different. So paying attention to the local realities, the local needs of both viewers and advertisers is key to us, and that also is part of the definition of quality.
You mentioned local players and also regional players. It's interesting that some of the global platforms like Netflix and Amazon are now starting to join trade bodies like Thinkbox in the UK and subscribe to the industry currencies because they do fit into that definition. I think in your new charter, you put out an open invitation to, I think you phrased it, all industry partners who wish to join on us and on this journey and share our values. Do you think Netflix and Amazon could join EGTA one day?
I like the one day, definitely. It's definitely something that we are discussing. Because ECTA is both a marketing trade body, but also a lobbying trade body, we need to make sure that if we bring them in, we agree on enough points to justify that they are full members, but that we are getting closer and that they are part of the TV family as per our definition, definitely. There are some elements which are key and central to being an ECTA member, and that is obviously having somehow a linear offer and a digital offer, but most importantly is being measured and open to independent auditing, which is happening now. If you take the likes of Netflix, they are joining Barb, they are joining the currencies and as will and or as have others. So as long as that happens, then definitely the doors are more open than ever, and we'll find terms to bring them in the long run, I'm sure.
So moving on to the second priority, which is a topic very close to our hearts at ASI, which is improving measurement. What are the specific priorities that EGTA has for measurement over the next few years? What constitutes good measurement as far as EGTA and its stakeholders are concerned?
From where we sit as an organization, and specifically me and my team in our roles, one of our priorities is to make sure that we move forward and that we don't get hung on the past. But what equally important is that we uphold some of the values which are basically at the hardcore of the WFA North Star, i.e., those values of transparency and independent measurement and good quality data, etc., etc. So upholding those values is central to us. I won't deny that the priority to all ECTA members, both on the TV side and audio side, is first and foremost to make sure that all their properties are measured. So total TV and total audio measurement as per their value proposition to the market is their number one priority before they do move on to cross media and opening up to other platforms. So that definitely is our priority to help them along the way, making sure that everything that is seen on, regardless of the platform, but that is TV content, is measured and accounted for. So that is our number one priority. Good measurement for me means that we are also moving towards more inclusivity in terms of bringing on board other partners. So that will be definitely a measure of success in the future. But for now, the priority is making sure that total TV is measured across all platforms, total audio is measured across all platforms, and that we make it easier on advertisers to get a picture of where incremental reach comes from, how each platform contributes to the result of a campaign, so that they have those figures to better plan and optimize their campaigns.
Makes sense. I was wondering what the EGTA view. I've got to be careful because obviously we're in the middle of an election campaign in the UK, and obviously there's elections underway in France and some other European countries where people are talking about manifestos. And this isn't a manifesto to get it elected. It's something that's been agreed by the industry. But I was wondering if there was a firm view on measurement needing to be a single currency or a one agreed sort of source of truth for the industry, because I know that you have a very useful knowledge sharing forum with CIM in the US, where you sort of share best practices, and certainly CIM is very much a supporter of the alt currency approach in the US, which is moving towards having three or four competing currencies. Does Egt have a view on whether a good currency is a single currency, or are we going to be moving more towards people being able to pick and choose what currency they want, as the US seems to be?
Yeah, I don't think anyone in the membership, at least speaking for myself, I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone, but I don't think we believe in the coexistence of multiple currencies when there is no way to align them and compare them. I'm just back from Cannes, and I heard comments from agencies and clients, etc., who are trading in the US and who were saying we are being given different numbers, and the gaps between those numbers are quite big, and we have no way of knowing how that relates to what we used to do in the past. So there may be a 20% gap between what we knew, what is coming now, but even the two numbers that are coming from alternative providers are different among themselves. So where is the truth? That makes it extremely complicated and slow. So we definitely believe that there needs to be cohesion. If we can get to a single currency, that obviously is the dream. Whether that is realistic or not, I'm not sure. What is sure is that we can't just measure audiences these days. And that is part also of progressing measurement, as we imply it. It's audience measurement on the one hand, and it's the measurement of other realities such as performance and outcome and impact on sales and impact on results, etc., that also need to come along. So from that point of view, multiple currencies, yes. But if we're talking about audience measurement, strictly speaking, the more united and the better we can rely around one number, I think the safest it makes for, and the easiest it makes for all partners in the industry.
Now, the next element of the charter is around optimizing buying processes, which is really about making it easier and frictionless for advertisers to invest in television and get the outcomes that they want. One of the things you highlight that we're particularly interested in and will be featuring a lot at our conference is coming November in Venice is the need for greater clarity around definitions and standards, particularly when it comes to things like the definitions of phrases like impressions. Do you think that this relates back to a certain unclarity at the moment around how people are interchanging between impressions, impacts, contacts, devices, people, etc.? I know that you highlight that people-based measurement is a priority, which is
Definitely.
very reassuring.
It's people over devices, and it's both content and advertising, by the way, to finish up on the measurement element. But on the making the processes, the buying processes easier, there's different things. And it's not just a definition around the words that are part of the measurement world, but it's also just simply, what is TV? What is total TV? What is included when you say total TV figures? How do people define catch up? How do they define replay? How do they define video on demand? When they report numbers, if you look, and we do that every day at ECTA because we get numbers from all of our members all the time when we ask questions, we realize there's huge gaps in results when we talk about the VOD offer, for example. And people say, yeah, but in VOD, what do you include? What do you put in it? Do you include this and that and that? And we realize that all markets are trading in different ways. So they are already just agreeing on definitions of products or offers to the market. The concept of BVOD does not exist in the US, for example. So all these realities make it very, very hard. But the reality we come from is that our members these days are multi-platform TV, as the new name of ECTA indicates. That means they sell inventory across different platforms. And it's not easy for buyers. Some still have through their agencies to buy through their TV team. And then they buy the online properties through the online or digital teams within the agencies. They don't have one contact, they don't have one contract, they don't have one trading number. So simplifying that is a first step, obviously making it much easier. And then there's also the fact that because our members are diversifying the way they put their content out to the viewer and to the clients, it makes it extremely difficult to, I mean, they all develop their own tech solution to make it easier on them, but the tendency is that each broadcaster tends to have its own ad tech stack and its own vision and its own platform. And that makes it extremely hard on agencies and on clients as well. The agencies do the same. They each have their own tech stacks, and none of this is easy to connect. So we think we all need to make efforts, and we're willing to take our share of the work and of the responsibility in terms of making our offers and our tech stacks connectable to agencies so that we can speak the same language, the same tech language, and connect better, especially the data sets. We have a lot of first party data, the agencies do too, the clients do too, and we need to do something so that we can, in a privacy safe way, connect our data to make the offers richer and easier to make sense of.
And then added to that, you've also got the OEMs, the TV equipment manufacturers building their own
Exactly.
advertising products as well. So it's becoming quite hard for advertisers to know exactly how to tie all these elements together.
Exactly.
You highlight the that often TV and internet are still bought and sold in separate silos, which clearly increasingly doesn't make sense. I guess that also highlights the need for more collaboration potentially between bodies. I know, for example, the IAB has done a lot of work trying to talk about definitions between in-stream out advertising and outstream advertising, for example. So do you think there's more opportunities for collaboration between different media in order to just make this whole process simpler?
Definitely. I mean, it starts from within. So we already are trying to get members, even within one same market, sometimes to agree on definition and ways to go to the market. Then agreeing between different countries is already within ECTA not that easy, but certainly the door is wide open. And actually, the IAB is now part of this international knowledge exchange that we have. We need to work more, definitely, to make it easier across platform, across media, and across linear and digital by definition.
Okay, so you've got measurement sorted, you've got the buying process sorted, you've got a quality product. The next challenge, obviously, is to demonstrate its effectiveness and impact to the advertisers that you want to retain and attract. In what ways can you be supporting bodies like Thinkbox and Screenforce, who are doing research initiatives? Does ECTA get involved in its own effectiveness research, or do you kind of liaise with individual marketing bodies in the countries who are doing their own thing?
Yeah, we don't commission research per se, but we do definitely liaise with all those who are doing research and learn from that research. You probably do know that we have formed two organizations, one which is called the Global TV Group and the other one which is called the World Radio Alliance, which do unite the Thinkboxes and Screenforces and ThinkTVs of this world and the Radio Center, etc., of the world in the World Radio Alliance. The idea being to connect people who are doing all this research and connect the arguments, develop the same jargon, make sense of the conclusions of all these pieces of research to speak in favor of the two media that we put forward. I think there's excellent research, and there's been recently a piece by Nick Manning in the press indicating that there's amazing research that is being done, and there's a lot of proof that TV and audio have an impact when it comes to attention, when it comes to profitability, when it comes to ROI, when it comes to many different notions. The research is there and the message is not always heard, and definitely not heard enough. So one of our priorities is definitely also to turn the result of this research into actionable elements and translate those into trading mechanism if possible at all. Because I think advertisers know better. They will tell you, so they say, of course we know TV works and audio works, etc., but we still see that there's a tendency for ad dollars to move to online platforms. So getting the research done and collaborating on that research to highlight the fact that TV is more than a branding media. It builds brands, it builds businesses, it helps with reach, but it helps with performance, with impact, with all of those elements that are key. This is what the advertisers want to hear today. They don't want to be reminded of the branding effect of TV. They say, we know that, but they also want the other element of the spectrums. And we need to be out there proving that we act and have an impact on all levels of the marketing funnel. So that definitely is one of our priorities.
Obviously, bodies like Thinkbox and Screenforce are doing good work demonstrating the effectiveness of television, and also we then have the local and sort of the federated audio sales houses doing quite a lot of work around demonstrating the importance of audio. Is Egta in a fairly unique role in that you could potentially be looking at ways of tying those pieces of research together to show how specifically TV and audio work together? Because it strikes me that there's a lot of focus on cross media as a long-term objective, and there's a lot of work going on around TV and audio on their own. But if you look at like the NMO situation in the Netherlands, where they are bringing their measurement together, that does open the opportunities to look at what audio adds to TV. And also, attention's an interesting one because clearly, audio attention is a very different beast to audio visual attention on television, but they may complement each other.
This is a kind of request that we get a lot from our members who will ha have received from some clients or some agencies requests for proof that a TV and audio campaign, for example, delivers better than a TV only or audio only campaign. So this is something we've been doing for years and collecting data on how they both enhance each other. So that's definitely one thing. But a lot of the research that is being done, if it's good research done by those trade bodies, whether they are TV trade bodies or radio trade bodies, they will encompass all media, right? You only come out stronger and credible if you've aligned different media when you do your research, and then hopefully your medium comes out stronger. And funnily enough, whether it's research from France or from the UK, et cetera, a lot of research where multiple media are considered, TV and radio come out quite strong on a certain number of elements, both ROI, attention, profitability. You can very easily see that the two kind of speak well with each other and talk to each other. So yeah, making that proof and making that link is quite an easy thing to do, especially as a lot of our members have both TV and audio inventory in their portfolio.
Now, moving on to the final mission and arguably one of the most important ones, which is the environmental, social, and governance aspect of the broadcasting industry, ESG. What role is EGTA looking to play there in terms of setting an agenda?
So we made it clear that we don't want to be to repeat what the organizations of TV channels or radio stations are doing, i.e., we want to focus, we try at least to always focus on what makes us unique, i.e., we deal with the monetization angle of the business, the ad sales. And so obviously, one of our role is to help our mother organizations achieve their goals and stay in line with their objectives. If only in terms of how we behave as companies, as people, in terms of travel, in terms of behavior within the company, but also in enhancing the goals. We want to help the clients who have very clear objectives with their brand and their campaigns to reach them better. But we certainly want to focus on where we feel we have the power to act. And that is with the maybe with the commercial offers we put out there by supporting advertisers who have a clear message or who are clearly acting. Now you very quickly fall in the risk of greenwashing, et cetera. So we need to be extremely careful. But with a lot of our members, we're trying to gather examples of companies that are proactively supporting brands that are able to prove that they are contributing very efficiently to a better planet, better environment, better society. This by sustainability, we don't just mean the environment and the climate crisis, but also a more inclusive society, a more accessible industry. So we act where we think we can make a difference, but as people who work for the content monetization and ad sales business. Of course, we joined international initiatives, so we're part of that net zero because the carbon emission, for example, attached to broadcasting campaigns is something that we can act upon. But yeah, the objectives that we are adopted are small, probably, but they're very concretely attached to the business we're in, which is ad sales.
It's interesting at the event in London a few weeks ago that there was one specific topic on inclusivity that cropped up that hadn't occurred to me, that which is around, I think, stop me if I'm wrong, the subtitling and audio description of advertising itself, because it had not occurred to me that not using subtitling much myself, that I'd always assume that all ads would be would be subtitled, but it seems that they're not. That sounded like something quite concrete that EGTA could get involved in.
Exactly, and we're deeply involved. We started off that work 2 years ago. It was initially at a after a contact with PNG, who had made it clear that by 2025 they wanted all of their ads to be 100% accessible across all platforms. They reached out to ECTA to see if we could help, which kind of put the topic on our radar. To my knowledge, Canada is the only market where every ad is subtitled. It's an obligation by law, but in most other countries, whereas there are quotas in terms of percentages of content that need to come with either subtitling or some form of audio description, it isn't the case with advertising. And because obviously P&G was quickly followed by other brands, and I won't list them all, but Unilever, Diageo, Mastercard, those are brands that we're working with. Mars is another one that we're working with. We've formed the Global Accessible Advertising Alliance together with ISBA and Union des Marques in France in the lead. And together we are trying to definitely work towards that objective of making advertising accessible for the population. It's a vast amount of the population that cannot access advertising messages for one reason or another.
It's also ironic because you tend to think also of subtitling as being, helpful for people who, who need it for various reasons. But the BBC did a study 2 years ago, I think, that showed that actually the majority of 15 to 24s watch TV with subtitling on,
Exactly.
not because they need it, just because they've grown up in a social media world where all the ads that they're seeing on their social feeds and all the content have got subtitling. So you would have thought there's an imperative there for advertisers, not just in terms of ESG, but just in terms of reaching 15 to 24s to have the subtitle.
Exactly. Exactly. And also, if you watch on your mobile phone in a noisy environment, you welcome the subtitles as well, because it may make it your life easier. And then there's all people who have dyslexia or learning difficulties, etc. So it goes beyond just people that are hearing and viewing impaired. So, and it's we've come a long way already, and we keep plowing, and we'll continue to make improvement on that front as well.
Well, finally, in formulating this new charter, what, as the Director General of EGTA, what makes you most worried about the future? What's the biggest challenge you can see for the industry, and what makes you, to end on a positive note, most optimistic about the future of?
Most worried, obviously, we're up against a lot of competitors, and when it's not one, it's another. Again, coming back for Cannes, the two words that dominated Cannes were AI and commerce media. It's another challenge or another opportunity. Take it as you want. There's always something that needs to be mastered, but it's the other side of the coin, and it's also what makes me very optimistic. It's the resilience that I see in the industry. People who are first driven by passion, who love their jobs, who love what they're doing, who love the industry. They're very protective of the TV and audio industry. The audio industry is having a boom and a renaissance. The TV industry is transforming radically. And whereas for many, many years, I felt people were reluctant, they were doing just enough of what they thought they had to do in digital to be seen as, not too dinosaur. Now they've moved with all their strength and passion into developing and reinventing the industry. So that level of passion and resilience for me is really, really nice to see. When I see the attendance in London for the 50th anniversary, the fact that the association is growing and continues to attract new members, because there's this sense that we can do so much more together and protect and build and develop and reconstruct what TV is and has to offer. I must admit that it makes me quite happy and optimistic.
Yeah, I think that's quite an important distinction you make there, that there's been a transition from having to do digital to wanting to do digital, and that's
Exactly.
quite an important mindset change. So thanks for joining us today. As I say, we'll make the charter available in the notes to our show. It's also going to help us form the our thinking around key topics for our event in November. So thanks for joining us, Cathy.
Sure, you're welcome, and thanks for having me. Thank you very much.